This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl, tell us, what's the latest in with the Browns quarterback situation?
Nothing's really changed, but they did work out Cam Ward on Wednesday as we record this, so earlier in the day Wednesday. Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and Jimmy Haslam all went down to Miami to work him out. So everybody that just like lost their collective minds because Berry didn't attend the pro day earlier this week, I think you can take a chill pill. They had a private meeting and private workout with Cam. They also already had a top 30 visit with Cam, along with Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter, and a couple other players. They've already done top 30 visits with them. So, you know, these workouts really are more confirmation than anything. They're not going to really move the needle from an actual evaluation standpoint, like a lot of people want to make believe at this time of year. For me, pro days, at least it's content in our business, you know, the oohing and the eyeing over. Look, if you can't look good throwing footballs with no defense on the field in your underwear, then that you probably aren't made to be in the NFL. You know, Cam did look good throwing the ball during his pro day. His receivers made some nice catches. I wonder how good it looked though with an actual defense on the field, right? But you know, it is, you know, silly season. There's all kinds of stuff being thrown out there, but they did go to Florida. They got their one-on-one, if you will, look. We'll see if the Tennessee Titans stand pat, keep the pick, use the pick on Cam Ward, or, you know, do the Browns move up to number one to take Cam Ward?
I don't know. I look at this and I'm like, okay, well, at least the Browns, Cam Ward knows that. And David Njoku was there, right? Did you say that or not?
Njoku, that was another meeting because his contract's up. He's in the final year of his contract, believe it or not.
Okay.
So probably just touching base with him and his agent about doing an extension there. And then, of course, you know, Njoku is an alum of the U.
So you matter.
I think that there's some thought that Njoku would really, really like it if the Browns ended up with Cam Ward as the rookie quarterback. And I'll be honest with you. based on kind of what's available, you know, Russell Wilson's now officially a New York Giant. I think that not only are the Browns going to take a quarterback with their first selection, but that quarterback's going to start week one. The more this kind of unfolds, and that's not to say, you know, that can't change, but just looking at the landscape right now, looking at the fact,
is there any way you think that's a bad idea?
No, I really don't. I mean, Jay, a lot of quarterbacks start as rookies, and
No. I'm saying selecting a quarterback in this year's draft at number two, is that a panic move by a front office and coaches that believe that their job is on the line? Although I wouldn't say that they've been coaching that, or they've been handling the offseason that way. But I don't know. I look at Abdul Carter and I see a guy that could be here and could be a, I don't know, the sky's the limit for this guy, and to let him walk by, to take a quarterback who might've got picked in the second or third round any other year. I just think I don't know. I mean, if you really think that you're going to win the Super Bowl this year by drafting one of these quarterbacks and you think this guy's a long-term quarterback, then knock it out. I just don't think that when I look at this team right now, I don't think they're going too far next year. And if they're and if they feel like they're stretching to get a quarterback at two, it just feels like they're just going to keep this team on the treadmill. Just keep staying where you are. You can't panic pick at two a quarterback just because they're a quarterback.
But as we've talked about, Andy, we've reached the throw stuff against the wall and start praying something finally sticks.
And this is not throwing stuff against the wall. This isn't praying. If they take the best player available and forget about the fact that if you've got a quarterback there that might not be worthy of the number two pick.
Well, I mean, if they wait to take a Jackson Dart or a Milrow,
how do we know those guys aren't going to be good? Like, again, everything we know about these guys right now, and, you know, I sit and I watch these guys play all season long, and I don't know. I mean, can you project sometimes if a guy's going to be, you know, great in the NFL? Yeah, I think so. But for every one that they're right on, there's 27 that they're wrong on all the time. And that I think that our perception of what these quarterback is, maybe the gurus are completely wrong on this, and maybe this is a great quarterback draft. I'm not saying that it is, but maybe it is. And so, you know, that's how the Tom Brady's of the world sneak through. I know he's just one quarterback in a long list of quarterbacks. And yes, I do know when you look at the lists of Super Bowl quarterbacks and where they've been drafted, odds are that if you take them in the top 10, they're probably a little bit higher than they are on anybody outside of that. But I just don't want to see the Browns waste another pick. That's all there is to it. Because all it does is add more frustration for all of us.
Yeah, I just think you're at a point you don't have a choice. I really do.
Like, they do have a choice. Like this whole notion that they've got a gun against their head to draft a quarterback.
They need a quarterback.
Is it Andrew Berry that needs it? Is it Kevin Stefanski?
Franchise needs it.
But if that quarterback's not there, Darrell, why take him?
I don't disagree with you. I'm not high on this quarterback class at all. I think it's one of the worst quarterback classes in recent memory. The only reason we're talking about Cam and Shadur is because they play quarterback.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you look at the folks that do the in-depth scouting of, you know, the draft and college players coming out, like, these are not top 15 players in this class. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could argue Shadur's not a top 30 player in this class. But because of the position they play, because of the need, the desperation, like, the Titans are in the same boat as the Browns. The New York Giants, even with them adding, they're still in the same spot as the Browns. Like, they need their next franchise quarterback. Adam Schefter, I guess, said earlier today that the Browns are leaning towards, not drafting one of these quarterbacks.
There's a lot of saying, oh, this guy's the...
But
I mean, come on. I mean, some of these experts are also talking to agents and they're, you know, and they're kind of, and then there's teams that want them to talk about them too, because you're trying to drive the value up or you're trying to do this. The reality of this entire situation is, does it really, and this is no offense to Adam Schefter or any other, you know, Mel Kiper or any of those guys. The reality of it is it's whatever they think inside their own building. These guys are just talking to fill airtime and to say, okay, this is what I believe, and this guy would be good for these guys. And, you know, a lot of times those guys are right, but a lot of times they're wrong too. Just like the guys inside the buildings that find themselves getting fired. And I keep thinking about Johnny Manziel a lot, and just how the hype train brought him to Cleveland more than his ability on the field or what anyone was saying about the disaster that would happen if Manziel came to come play for you. And that sticks in the back of my head as much as the evaluation to bring Deshaun Watson here. Like, this franchise can do better. And we, as fans, we deserve better. I think so too.
Well, you can't do something for the sake of doing it, but I almost feel like that's just the situation that the Browns find themselves in. The other part of this too, and the more I think about it, it is true. If you use your number two overall pick on one of these quarterbacks, Andy, and let's just say for sake of argument that I'm right and they're just not it, right? Mm-hmm. It sets you back to 2 years, right? You can recover, like you can, what's another 2 years for Browns fans, right? I mean, it's been since 1964, right? It's been since the 1980s before since this team has actually competed, a conference championship. They have the longest conference championship drought in the NFL. They have the longest division title drought in the NFL. So what's another 2 years? So
I'm totally with you. And by the way, maybe a drought for another year gives you Manning.
Well, here's my thought. Okay. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do. I'm trying to present all sides of the argument here and just take my personal opinion out of this situation and just, take a step back and objectively look at it all around. It makes sense to draft a quarterback at two. It makes sense for them to draft another quarterback in the third or the fourth round. Okay. Get two kids in here and see if you can find something there. And also, when you look at this team, Andy, I think that they're in better shape to help a rookie quarterback succeed. The offensive line's pretty good. Okay. And they added some depth this offseason and some versatility up front if and when injuries pop up. So I feel good about the offensive line. I feel good about the supporting cast, having a David Njoku, right? Having Jerry Jeudy coming off of his first 1,000-yard season. Yeah, there's a couple. We always have questions about the bulk of the wide receiver core every year. I mean, it's the number one thing that Jeff Phelps likes to ask me about every year on the show. Almost every day, right? Mm-hmm. So there are issues there. I think this is a great draft for running backs. Okay, I'm confident they'll find a running back, Nick Chubb's quote unquote replacement. This is a good defensive lineman draft. So if you skip Abdul Carter
there are other guys there. I get it.
There's other guys that you're going to be able to draft. So I'm just trying to take, I don't agree that these quarterbacks are worthy of the one or two spot. But guess what? I'm not a scout. I'm not a GM. And for all we know, to your point, Andy, yeah, there may be in this draft a Patty Mahomes, a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow. And we just don't know it yet. So the only way you're going to find that out is trust that Andrew Berry knows what he's doing and he knows how to evaluate these quarterbacks and he knows finally how to evaluate leadership, because you need your quarterback to be a leader, and trust that he can pick the best of the bunch in this draft class. And look, if you think Cam Ward is the guy, all right, mm-hmm. If you think he's the guy, then go get the number one pick so you can secure him. It's worth it. If you think Shedeur Sanders is the guy, then go get them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I agree with that evaluation, but if you're Andrew Berry right now, the number one need for this team is a quarterback. And if you think that there's one in this draft class, then you need to go get them. It's just that simple. And I understand what you're saying about skipping Abdul Carter and what he potentially could bring.
Travis Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. Travis Hunter is my favorite player in this draft. He is a guy. I would love the Browns to draft him at number two. But then the conversation is, well, Andrew Berry views him as a receiver. And let's be honest about it. You're probably not using the number two pick in the draft on a wide receiver. Okay. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, he is so versatile and if that doesn't align with like Barry's thinking, I kind of in my head, I've crossed him off the list. I don't think he's in consideration. Whether I like him or not, doesn't matter. So the next month, it's going to be wild. I mean, today was pretty wild with some of the speculation that that gets thrown out there. But, you know, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. But them going to Miami today, that's just part and parcel to doing your pre-draft homework.